Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Two times each year we come across the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem, on the first Sunday in Advent and here on Palm Sunday. There's a difference, however, in theme. Whereas on Advent, the theme of it is Christ's first coming into the world, his coming to us in word and sacrament, and his final coming again on the last day. But the theme of the Palm Sunday is that Jesus Christ comes as a triumphant, victorious king who still has to complete the work of redemption, right? So behind him lies what? Fulfillment of prophecy. How many times when we read the Gospels do we learn that Jesus did this and said that and acted in such a way in order that it might be fulfilled what was done by the prophets? Fulfillment of prophecy. Now, you know, if your attention span isn't that great, you might not appreciate the power of fulfilled prophecy. It's one of the three big things that the authority of the Christian gospel stands. Number one is the resurrection of the dead. Number two is the miracles of Jesus. And number three is this that we're talking about now. All right, the fulfillment of prophecy. So these three things point us very clearly to the fact that this Jesus and no one else ever is the one who was promised in the Old Testament. He has come, he has fulfilled those promises, and therefore your soul may rest in Jesus with confident faith in the holy word of God, which points you to him and to none other. There is none other name given among men by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus, at which name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So Jesus here rides into Jerusalem with the fulfillment of prophecy behind him, also fulfilling prophecy, because as he rides into Jerusalem, he is intentionally fulfilling Malachi and Zechariah and Psalms and Isaiah. He is intentionally fulfilling them so as to say to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I come to bring salvation, which you are in severe need of. This is the thing that gets us in the modern world. We don't particularly think that we need a savior. We think that we need an advisor. We think that we need an example shower. You know, show me how to do things right, you know. Show me, I need a guru is what I need. I need something like that, an advisor. But I don't need a savior because I'm a good person. How blind we are in our modern world to delude ourselves into thinking that our measly lives and our beggarly attempts at being good are in any way what the Ten Commandments mean when they demand that we have no other gods before him, that we take not the Lord's name in vain, that we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that we honor our parents and masters, that we do not kill, hurt, or harm our neighbor in his body, that we do not commit adultery, we do not steal, we do not lie, and we do not covet. all of which things we do richly and plenteously, and we don't even know we're doing it because we're not paying attention. But we think we don't need a Savior. We don't need a Savior. We just need somebody to point us in the right direction and give us a little advice. My friends, Jesus comes to you today in this word, just as he came into Jerusalem to be your Savior. He came. Now, he came, behind him was the fulfillment of prophecy. Behind him were the miracles of Jesus, one after the other, after the other. And then behind him was that he was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Who are the poor? The poor in Scripture are those who know that they need God. That's what poor means in the Bible. Those who are under no illusions as to their own capacity. They know they need God. And the gospel, the good news, is preached to the poor. What is this good news? A Savior has come for you. And he comes to you by means of his word and sacraments. He comes to you and offers you all the benefits of his saving work so that you may not be stranded in your own lost and condemned condition, but that you may be snatched up out of death and sin and put into the kingdom of God's grace. And so today we rejoice that Jesus comes into Jerusalem, trailing behind him fulfilled prophecy, miracles, and the good news proclaimed to the poor. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem with the greatest work still ahead of him, because he comes into Jerusalem having salvation. What does that mean? He came to Jerusalem to enter into the final battle of his work for your redemption as the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And that is, he rode into Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. Jesus didn't die as an accidental martyr. Oops, something went wrong and didn't go according to plan. Oh, that's terrible. That's not the death of Jesus, my friends. All you've got to do is read the Gospels and you know that nothing happened by chance, but everything was according to the plan of God from the foundation of the world for the redemption of the world, that the Son of God might come into the world to stand in our place, to stand in the place where we have failed and sinned, and to triumph over sin, death, and the devil on our behalf, right? And so Jesus is about to take upon himself the sins of the world. How can a man take upon himself the sins of the world? A man who is the Son of the living God can take upon himself the sins of the world. And that is what he did. When he was nailed to the cross, when he was crucified, when he suffered and died upon the cross, he was taking your punishment. He was bearing your sins. He was being punished by his Father in heaven for your sins, because he's a Savior. He came to do what you can't do. You cannot keep God's law, but he did, and he could, and he did it for you. You cannot pay for your own sins. No sin gets less by the passage of time. You know, we forget our sins. We commit grievous sins, and we forget all about them. But sin doesn't go away with the passage of time. Sin only goes away by redemption and forgiveness. That's why you need a Savior. Because even though you don't even feel sorry for the sins you committed 20 years ago, without faith in Christ, those sins still cling to you. All sin sticks like glue forever unless it comes under the atoning work of the Son of the Living God. And this is what Jesus rode into Jerusalem to do, to be that once and for all payment for sins, that once and for all Savior of the world, so that when you have Jesus, you have your sins washed away, you have the redemption of Christ, and you have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, and you rejoice in the grace in which you stand. What a wonderful thing it is to have your sins washed away. What a wonderful thing it is to know that by the grace of the Son of God, the Heavenly Father receives you as his own dear child, and the Heavenly Father is delighted with you for Christ's sake. What a wonderful thing it is to have a Savior, and that's what our text is about today. And that's what the crowds got caught up in. We see that when Jesus didn't explain himself to the disciples, he told them to go and get the donkey. He didn't say why. He just told them to get it. They went and they got it. And then they put some clothes on the donkeys and set Jesus on it. And then everybody just automatically started chanting Psalm 118. All the pilgrims flocking into Jerusalem, they all began to say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Because Jesus, by his action of riding in on the donkey, was fulfilling the prophecy of the Messianic King of Salvation. He was coming into Jerusalem proclaiming, I am the Christ, the Son of the Living God. I am your Savior. I am coming to accomplish everything you need in order to be right with God forever. And so it is, the crowd perceived this and they acclaimed him, to the chagrin of the Pharisees and the scribes, to the chagrin of all the people that just wanted to get into town to do their thing about the holiday, right? They proclaim that Jesus is the Blessed One who comes in the name of the Lord. And today, we, as we anticipate Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, as we anticipate these things, we also lend our voices to the throngs of people on that first Palm Sunday and rejoice that the one who comes in the name of the Lord, he comes for us. Amen. The peace of the Lord, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.